seeing Europe with an experienced traveler is a little more fulfilling, a little more memorable, and you don't have to be there in person either. This week, Techonomics host Jason Middleton speaks with Rick Steves, a travel expert who shares a deep experience on nearly every available platform, in person, television, internet, and on our smartphones.
I spend 4 months a year in Europe, and for me, Europe is the wading pool for world exploration. I'm just trying to talk Americans into going beyond Orlando.
Travel advice and tips that never go out of style are coming up next.
Hi, and thanks for tuning us in. If you've traveled outside the U.S., you likely know the name Rick Steves. Rick has been heading to Europe for more than 30 years, and he's living proof of how awesome it can be when you love to do something and you can make a living at doing that thing, too. Through his best-selling guidebooks, his popular PBS television series, his weekly radio show, and his syndicated newspaper column, Rick Steves has helped millions of people with the logistics of finding the right hotel, avoiding long lines, sampling the best local delicacies, and catching the train on time. All right, enough of the pitch. Here's our chat.
I'm Rick Steves, and I write travel guidebooks.
Yes, and the most recent one for Europe landed at our studios not too terribly long ago, and I happen to be personal front page planning a trip to Europe, so I might get a little into the weeds on a couple of things, but I'll get to that in a moment. Why Europe right now, Mr. Steves? I mean, you've been doing this for 30 years, going to Europe, and it seems like your interest has never waned.
Well, all of my business cards and letterhead says Rick Steves Europe on it. That's the name of my company, because I love Europe. I've been doing Europe ever since I was a kid. I spend 4 months a year in Europe, and for me, Europe is the wading pool for world exploration. I'm just trying to talk Americans into going beyond Orlando, and I just think Europe is a delightful place to travel. I've been spending 4 months a year there for the last 30 years and haven't begun to run out of fun things to do and exciting places to explore and discover, and now I've got a staff of 100 people and technology beyond my wildest dreams to amplify our teaching, and Europe is our beat.
Let's talk about that technology for a second. This show is called Techonomics, so let's begin with that. I'd want to know, low tech to get around? Do you have any favorite apps that you rely on, you or your staff?
Well, I'm not one of these travelers that buries myself in my smartphone as I walk down the street. But, you know, there's apps that are obviously very helpful. Mapping apps are great. I produce an app called Rick Steves Audio Europe with different self-guided tours around Europe, which I think is people who like my style. They stick me in their ear, and I can walk them through all the most important museums and historic centers of towns on guided walks where they don't need to be looking at the book and then looking up, but they can just be immersed in the wonders of the Pantheon or the British Museum or the Vatican or the Sistine Chapel and so on. So there's a lot of fun tech that helps us travel better. I mean, if you like Uber here, you can use Uber over there. If you like Airbnb, that works like a charm. But, you know, for me, the fundamentals of travel are the same. There's just efficiencies that help us travel more economically and more efficiently. We've got ATMs, of course. You've got the euro now where you got 300 million people with the same coins jangling in their pockets. Mm-hmm. We've got a very small language barrier as opposed to the old days. And now we have apps that help people translate beyond that. I think it's just an exciting time to be traveling.
Yeah, and you mentioned economically in that answer. So that's the back half of the Techonomics show is the economics of it. We have a strong dollar surging right now. Stable against the EU, and the Brexit is bringing the pound down a bit. So does that heighten the appeal to travel to Europe right now? Are you going to see an uptick, you think, in Americans going abroad?
Yeah, I mean, when your dollar goes stronger, people are thinking Europe's on sale, and it's certainly strong right now. I mean, it's about $1.08 for a euro, and I was just leading one of our groups around Europe last summer, and it was still around $1.08, and I was just advising my travelers to just think of a dollar equals a euro. I mean, you'll get home and it'll cost you 8% more than you thought, but it's more fun that way. And Europe is on a, you know, it's not a cheap place to travel, but England is in particularly good state from a cost point of view now because the pound is so low because of Brexit. I think it's 25% less expensive than normal. But, you know, Jason, when you're thinking about traveling, people always ask, what's the best deal lately? The best deal is where you want to go. If you're dreaming about going to Spain, that's the best value. If you want to go back to your Norwegian relatives or whatever, that's your best value. If you just were inspired by something about Ireland and you want to go there, that's the best value. And you can travel smartly and, you know, economically in any place if you just equip yourself with good information and expect yourself to travel smart. And that's what I'm all about here at Rick Steves Europe with my 100 staff. We just love to go over there and make all the mistakes, take careful notes. When I get ripped off, I celebrate because they don't know who they just ripped off. I'm going to learn that scam, and I'm going to write it up and put it in the books and hope that my readers can learn from my experience rather than their own and have a smoother trip. That's kind of what we're all about.
Well, you probably recognize the voice, but we are speaking with Rick Steves. His new Best of Europe edition dropped earlier this year. Mr. Steves, let's talk about travel on a more existential level. What are the benefits that you have found over your lifetime of travel? And maybe you could impart some of that to would-be travelers.
Well, for me, the most beautiful souvenir, Jason, is to take home a broader perspective. The sad thing is in our country, as a country, we've become more fearful and more ethnocentric in the last year or two, it seems like. And I just feel like it's important, more important than ever, that we get out there and gain an empathy for the other 96% of humanity and kind of celebrate what a beautiful place this planet is. I know it doesn't make sense if all you do is watch commercial news, but I really believe the world's a safer place now than it's ever been, and it's a friendlier place to travel than I can ever remember. And I've been spending a third of my adult life overseas. It's a beautiful time to travel. A great thing about travel is it gets you out of your comfort zone, and you hang out with people who find different truths to be self-evident and God-given. And to me, it's kind of stimulating to realize that everybody doesn't have the American dream. Everybody has dreams, but they're not all the American dream. Mm. And I like to go to Morocco, where they have the Moroccan dream, or to Bulgaria, where they have the Bulgarian dream, and to Norway, where they have the Norwegian dream. Now, a less sophisticated American will just think, oh, they all just want to come to our country and get rich. But that's kind of silly. People want to stay home and be who they are, as long as that's possible. And I really enjoy being a guest in those countries. And visiting the countries with a little bit of humility. I don't want to go to the French and tell them how to do it. I want to go there and let them tell me that stinky cheese is really worth a lot of money. Great. You know, you step into a cheese shop and it's a festival of mold, and this guy's evangelical about his cheese. When I grew up, cheese was no big deal. It was orange in the shape of the bread, and you go over there and there's a different cheese for every day of the year. And for me, that's just a fun experience. That's what just stirs things up for me, and I just can't wait to get back again.
Well, your vigor and enthusiasm for travel, like I said earlier, has never waned. But I have to ask, is there anything left for your bucket list at this point when it comes to travel?
I don't really have a bucket list. To me, a bucket list is for people who just want to see something and check it off. I want to learn from other people. I want to just have this opportunity to broaden my perspective. And I've been focusing on Europe, as you said, for a long, long time. And you'd be amazed at how many important places I've yet to visit. I always find that the more you know Europe, the more there is to understand it and go back and visit. You can never exhaust Europe of what it has to offer. And I think that's a very important philosophical approach to your trip. Mm. You should not go to Europe thinking, I'm going to see everything on this trip so I don't have to go back. You know, I like to move quickly, but I'm not trying to exhaust Europe of what it has to offer. I do like to prepare in advance so I understand what my options are. That's, I think, really important. And Americans, you know, we're always worried about stretching our dollar, but we also have to worry about getting the good use out of our time. We Americans have the shortest vacations in the rich world. Mm-hmm. We're swimming in superlatives. You know, I'm so tired of hearing people say, you can spend a lifetime in Florence. Well, of course you can spend a lifetime in Florence, but I'm an American. I have a fast vacation. I got 1.5 days. Now, how should I use them? You know, that's kind of my job as a travel writer, is to sort through the superlatives and help people avoid the lines, help people to get a good experience when they're eating, and help people to understand their sightseeing. I mean, people go to the famous aqueduct in southern France, and they go, there's the aqueduct at the Pont du Gard at Avignon, near Avignon. But they don't really know what that aqueduct did. You know, they're looking at the mm-hmm. most scenic bridge. That's the most scenic bridge, that postcard shot with the river going under it. That's the most scenic bridge of a 30-mile-long structure built by Romans 2,000 years ago, engineered so the water in the little river that's up in the top of that, you know, stone bridge drops 1 inch every 100 yards for 30 miles. And that's just an amazing thing to think that all that work was dedicated to bringing water into the Roman city of Nîmes so peasants didn't have to carry it there. And if you can visit that and then you go to the very end and you see the end point of that, and you can imagine the jubilation on that day 2,000 years ago when water gushed into the city of Rome, or the city of Nîmes, because of the Roman engineers, man, you just have humanized that little bit of that 2,000-year-old bit of stony history. And that's our challenge as travelers, I think, is to get into the sightseeing and to understand it. And I guess one good budget tip is things cost the same regardless. If you understand them double, you're going to get double the thrills out of visiting it, and that makes it a better value.
A return on your investment, that's a very good point. That was Rick Steves, a travel advice icon, if not a legend. Mr. Steves is a self-proclaimed militant optimist who is constantly adding things to his books to help clear the path for travelers who follow after him. His guidebook, Best of Europe, has a new edition just in time for summer travel. And the apps and online resources that he has are well-advised if you're looking to travel on the continent.
Sicily is just a barrel full of cultural monkeys in a lot of ways. There's you got to remember, if a place has been just destitute and never had any economy,
right,
there's not much there in the way of souvenirs from the past.
I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Coming up next, we have the second portion of our chat with Rick Steves. He'll offer some specific destinations that may not have made your radar yet. That's next, so please stick around.